It is amazing how much in history, and even in the news today, that stacking the deck is normal. In sports, it's called performance-enhancing drugs, right? Yeah. In literary, it's called plagiarism, where you've copied someone else's work because it was so good and you claim it to be your own. In graphics design and marketing, it's taking someone else's idea, stealing it, and claiming that you can do this. And what is amazing that in our walk with God, we still believe and behave as if we can stack the deck and win. We listen to the voice of the tempter. It comes in many forms. It comes from the media. It comes in even the voices of your friends and family, of the city, the community, the mob. And it tries to convince us to do certain things, to buy into a vision or an idea or a notion or an action as if this will work for you. And it's insane, isn't it? In the Old Testament, in Genesis, when we take a look at chapters 1, 2, and 3, we think about a creation and about the fall and about getting kicked out of the garden. But what we often miss is the message that God says, you don't have to stack the deck. You don't have to try to come up with another solution. You don't have to have another gimmick or another way, or there is indeed no other idea that will save your soul. Pull out your bulletin and look at verse 15. This is where God doesn't cheat. But this is where God tells you there is no other hope. There is no other solution. In fact, this Bible verse is called the first gospel promise in all of Scripture. This is where, and as you read it, I'm going to paraphrase it for you. This is where God tells the devil that there is going to be conflict, there's going to be enmity, there's going to be hostility. And he talks about how that hostility is going to exist. And depends upon which translation you read, some will say seed, some will say offspring. But in the original Hebrew, it is seed, just to let you know, that's the word. That between the devil and the seed of a woman, there is going to be conflict. And that conflict is going to include the fact that in the language of the devil as the serpent, as the tempter, he's going to strike out at the heel of that one who is called the seed. And that seed is going to strike, that is, to crush, is another translation, is going to crush the devil's head. Some translations, the ESV, I think, has bruise. He will bruise your heel, and the seed will bruise his head, the devil's head. Some have strike, some have crush, and all of that. And the whole message is this, in that gospel promise, that for there to be hope, for there to be the guarantee, it's going to happen through the one. We know that the prophecy is fulfilled by Mary, giving birth to the seed, Jesus Christ. And we know that in the life of Christ, as we remember the gospel narratives, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we are reminded that Jesus Christ was born. He did 3 years of ministry, starting around the age of 30. And indeed, the devil came at him many times. And ultimately, the devil thought he won when Jesus Christ was crucified. But Jesus surprised him. You see, the devil is not all-knowing. The devil is not all-powerful. The devil does not control the future. The devil cannot stop time. And the devil will never, ever defeat God. And so Christ defeated the devil, sin, and death in the cross and resurrection. Now here's our dilemma. What do we see in this promise? And the thing that's happening, and it's been happening for a long time, it's not new, is that humanity is always trying to find out, what else do I need? What else do I want to add? What else would make this so much better? You know, it's sort of like making a stew. Oh, I think it needs this. No, no, this is the recipe. No, I think it needs, and you would say, more onion, more garlic, more pepper, more, you know, whatever it is, to fit your palate. And that palate, to be honest, has been corrupted ever since Adam and Eve ate from the tree that was forbidden. You see, the tempter, the devil, said, you will know good from evil. But that didn't happen. What we have a hard time is deciding which is good and which is evil, don't we? Growing up, how many times did your parents ask you, what were you thinking? You know, how come you came to that conclusion? How did you decide it was a good idea to put a firecracker in the toilet? What did you think you would get? And now there's a plumbing problem. We have a problem with our vision. It is tainted as it is sinful nature. And when we look at God's plan of salvation, we say it's not enough. Or, worse yet, it won't work. No matter how many testimonies you can have in front of you, no, I don't think it'll work. And we wonder why so many people are on the verge of breakdowns and emotional distress and hopelessness and confusion, and they're angry and aggressive. It's because whatever humanity is trying, it's not working. It doesn't seem to be the fix for sin and its consequences in the world. But in this text is the message of hope. Not simply a message of judgment. Because God himself says that there will be enmity. There's going to be problems as a consequence for sin. But he's also telling them that there is going to be a victory over the devil and over the sin that he brought into the world. And so after Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit and sin entered the world through Adam, he was the head of the family, he was responsible, and therefore you have a problem. Now God reverses it. And it says now, The woman is not going to consider the serpent her friend. She's not going to want to listen to him. There is hope. There will be hostility between the woman and the descendants, as she's called the mother of creation in that sense, the descendants of Adam and Eve. There will be hostility between humans and the evil one. There will be hostility between man and creation, because not only has sin entered into him, but sin has entered into creation. And therefore you have that message about toil and you know, with the thorns and the thistles and all of that. And yeah, it's hard when you're trying to produce a crop and the ground doesn't want to yield. But in this message of victory, it says that hostility will go away when the tempter is bruised, when his head is crushed. The message for you and I, this far after the cross of Calvary and the empty tomb from the garden, we are reminded that you and I have a victory already. That we don't have to try all these other solutions in our world to fix the heart. And I'm not talking about your blood pressure and you know, all the medical stuff. But I'm talking about out of the heart comes lie and jealousy and slander and hate and bitterness and hopelessness and all out of the heart. That the sinful nature does not have to rule us, because we have this new life in Christ. And in this walk of new life in Christ, we go to the solution that works. We go to the one who crushes the tempter's head. There is no reason for me to be enamored with the things of the devil. And believe me, there are people that are held captive by witchcraft, sorcery, black magic, the undead, and boy, is that popular on TV, you know? People think this is fun, it's entertaining, it's a game. This is not joyful before the Lord. And so we think to feel better about ourselves, we do holistic health diets. To feel better about ourselves, we lose weight. To feel better about ourselves, to feel like we're worth something, we do something. We buy a new outfit. We buy new technology. We buy all kinds of stuff. As if that's going to last. And what we find is we keep buying and dieting and changing and eating, and we find that we are still a mess inside our heart. This lesson is about the solution. Where do we go where God has guaranteed the victory? To whom do we go for the win? And it's in the one who crushes the tempter's head. You don't have to go anywhere else. You don't have to seek anyone else. You don't have to trust in anyone else. It's in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who was crucified, died, buried, and rose again. This is the beginning of hope. And it's the promise of eternity. This is the beginning of our solution before us, and it unfolds throughout all the promises of the Old Testament and their fulfillment into the New Testament. This is where it starts. And it changes what we see. When Adam and Eve looked at the forbidden fruit, they saw something that wasn't there. And when we look at Jesus, we see all that is there, real and true. Do you remember his words? I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's our healing. There is our hope. There is our cure. There is our life. Amen.